Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry in his name will meet with opposition. However, he assures them that they need not fear, for the truth will come to light. Life is found in Christ. Our gospel reading comes from the 10th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 24. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid, for you are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." This is the gospel of our Lord. So grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So Freeman Clark was quite a man. I would know. He was my grandpa. He was a coal miner for over 40 years. He was a father to two wonderful women and a husband to the best grandma in the world. I'm a little biased, I know. He was a master gardener, and he loved to tell a story. It wasn't unusual for my grandpa to walk uptown after a long day or on a Saturday to spend some time with his buddies. And whether it was up over a cup of coffee or once in a while even a cold beer, he could be found holding everyone's attention with his latest tall tale. My grandpa was also a truth teller, whether you liked it or not. He was going to tell you what he thought about you, about the job you did, and more. And he would tell that to you right to your face. Politely, of course. But he would tell you. And he was one to never mince words with us grandkids either. We knew that we were loved, but we also knew when we had crossed a line or when we had done something that he thought was, well, we'll put it in his words, stupid. You know, like climbing too high in his apple tree. We were going to break our necks, obviously. It was a miracle that none of my siblings, my cousins, or I ever broke our necks for many times as he warned us about the danger of it. Or walking with our hands in our pockets, we were going to fall down and not be able to get up. But also other more understandable things like manners at the dinner table, respect for our elders, the importance of hard work, and more. You get the picture. He told the truth in all situations. He never held back, even when telling the truth wasn't the easy thing to do. You and I have a story to tell. We have a truth to share. We, as children of God, have been called to share what God has done for us, how God is loving and merciful, how God loves us. But let's be honest, it's not always the easiest story to share. The feedback we get when we share the truth isn't always the best, is it? Yet even when it's difficult, sharing the story of God and His love and mercy and forgiveness is an honor and a gift and a responsibility. Jeremiah knew this. Jeremiah was one of the major prophets in the Old Testament, and we heard from him this morning. You would think that if God made you a prophet, that God would pave the way for you to easily share his message, right? Well, according to Jeremiah, his job as a prophet of the Lord was not easy. He says in the reading we heard this morning, "I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me." Being laughed at and mocked all day long is not what I would call an easy calling. But Jeremiah continues, and what we hear is that even when things are at their worst, he cannot hold in the message that he has been given to share. Jeremiah continues, he says, "If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Even when Jeremiah does not want to share the message he has been given, he cannot hold it in. Again, we too have been given this message to share. We have this responsibility. In our second reading, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that in our baptism. We are connected to Christ's death and resurrection. We are connected to that, and we have been given new life with a purpose. We have been set free from sin and death to do something, to love our neighbor, but to also share the story and to share what has happened to us, to share God's love and truth in all that we do and all that we say. We've been given the same opportunity as Jeremiah to share a message. We have the opportunity to share Jesus Christ with those around us in all that we do, to share this good news of forgiveness, love, and mercy with those who need it. This is our job, our responsibility as baptized Christians. But as we share our experience of faith, our experience of rebirth and renewal, we will realize ourselves over and over again that we are cared for, that we are beloved children of God. Yes, sharing this truth is not easy, but it is what we are called to do. It is how, as Jesus says, we take up our cross and follow Him. But there are times when we are worried, when we are afraid. We live in this world that can fill us with fear and worry and anxiety at times, a world that can take our attention away from the task at hand. You see, that's what fear and anxiety and worry do. They tell us a different truth. They change our thinking. They keep us from doing what we're called to do. I remember a time when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I loved swimming. In fact, I still love swimming. I spent most of my summer afternoons at the local pool with my friends. We would swim together, play games, and jump off that low diving board. But every day, I would look longingly up at that high dive. Some of my friends would jump off of that, and I so desperately wanted to jump off of it like they were. But I was afraid. I had an amazing ability, and still do at times, to come up with all the things that could go wrong. Maybe some of you do the same thing when you're thinking about doing something. So I would wonder if I would even be able to make it to the top. Would I fall off the ladder? Would I even have the guts to jump? Would I get hurt if I did jump? So I was sharing this with my mom one night over dinner, and she encouraged me to focus on the good, the fun the other kids were having on that diving board. So the next day, I would love to tell you that I went to the pool and jumped. But I didn't. It took me a few more days to build up the nerve to even try. So one day I was determined I was going to do it. So I climbed slowly to the top, making sure not to look down too much. And I inched my way out to the end of the board. And I stood there for what seemed like an eternity. But then I made sure the lifeguard was watching me, and I finally jumped. I did it, and I never looked back. That's just a fun little example of how fear can make us tell ourselves lies, can put our attention in places where it does not need to be. We can probably come up with excuses as to why someone wouldn't want to hear our faith experience, or why it might not be the right time to share the story. If we are honest with ourselves, we're afraid. And so were Jesus' disciples. They lived in a world that was occupied by their enemies. They lived in a world where crucifixion was popular. Yet Jesus reminds them that even one of the lowliest creatures in the world, the sparrow, is cared for by God, and that even the hairs, all 100,000 of them, on their heads are counted. Jesus invites them to not be afraid and to trust in the one whose love never ends. So yes, it is not easy to be a follower of Christ, to share how our lives have been changed. But I do believe that that's what we are called to share in word and in deed, what Christ has done for each one of us. But I also strongly believe that we are not called to be the judge. We are not called to shame others. We are not called to determine who God loves or not. We're not called to keep people from the Word of God. The Word of God is a gift for all people. We're called to share our lives of faith and listen and learn from the lives of others. One of the gifts that I found on one of the blessings and gifts of being a pastor that I found early on was being able to work with couples who are preparing for weddings. Now, hear me, it's not the actual wedding part. It's the gift is being able to sit with these couples as they prepare to be married. I enjoy sitting with them, getting to know their story, but also kind of talking with them about what it's like to be in a relationship. We'd sit down and do an online inventory, and then we'd talk about the results, strengths and weaknesses in their relationships. And some of the topics that would always come up would be finances and budgeting, and above all, communication. Communication is a key to a good relationship, and communication, as the couples were often reminded, is not just about clearly speaking. It's about listening with the intention of hearing and understanding. What I mean by this is that you listen to someone to actually hear what they are saying, not so that you can provide a rebuttal or plan your next move in an argument or even plan your next statement in a discussion, but you listen to understand and learn. I'm sharing this with you today because this is part of sharing our story in our lives. We share the story, sharing the story of God's love, how God's love is about forgiveness and mercy, and how it has changed our life. But we also get this wonderful gift to listen to where the other person is coming from, to truly hear if they've been hurt by the church, to truly hear if they don't understand this faith thing, to truly hear and answer the questions and concerns they may have, and to truly hear the arguments they have, to share and to listen and to build bridges, to build relationships, to learn and grow together, and to build up the body of Christ. This is how we take up the cross and follow Jesus. What might our lives, our church, and our world look like if we took that seriously? Amen.